Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing this evening?
Real good.
It's real good to be back with you again.
Always good to be here on Sunday night.
Studying God's Word?
Yeah.
Amen.
Recovering from the Christmas season.
Yeah.
And last week we did Epiphany.
What an awesome time.
Which was the official end of Christmas. And today we're going to do what comes right after that.
You know, the Jesus season really is really long now.
Yeah, that's right.
Because like it starts like even before, well before Thanksgiving now.
Oh, yeah.
And it goes all the way till...
Well, it starts at Labor Day.
Yeah. So yeah, even without knowing it, Jesus is being...
Yeah. Interesting that people could do like 3.5-4 months of, quote, Christmas stuff, but, you know, don't want to be in church for more than 57 minutes.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Anyway, today we're going to talk about an interesting thing, which there really isn't a lot of information on, which happens right after the passage that we talked about last week, which was the Magi coming and the leaders telling them that the Messiah was going to be born in Bethlehem, mm-hmm. and that they went. The leaders didn't go, and we thought it was interesting that these Gentile astrologers from far away came to see the Messiah, and the covenant people didn't go 6 or 7 miles to find him.
Right. And like you said, they came and announced, we're here to see the King of the Jews, the newborn King of the Jews.
Yeah, yeah. And Herod wasn't real excited about that.
No.
Yeah. And yeah. And
nor were some other people.
Yeah, and then something happens where Herod's going to take some action that's going to directly affect what the newborn Messiah, the newborn baby Jesus, and his family have to do.
Yeah.
And this is, again, in Matthew 2. So, Steve, if you want to read... 13 through 15, this is kind of like sets the stage for what's going to happen.
Okay. When they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son. Mm. Wow.
That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So Herod, you know, history records that this King Herod actually died in 4 BC.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some question about that. So there's some question about when was Jesus born, how much time went by this, when were the Magi there? This was after the Magi. So this is why, you know, some people say Jesus was born in what we would call 4 BC. Some people say it might have even been 6 BC. But anyway, we decided at Christmas time we weren't going to get into this. When was he really born? And we were going we left it that we were going to find out when we were in heaven.
Yeah. You sure you don't want to talk about it now?
And at that point, yeah.
All right.
So at that point, like, you know, when you go to heaven and Jesus himself says to you, oh, by the way, it was October 6th, you'll say, hey, it's okay. But it would be interesting to know exactly when it was.
It would be.
Yeah. So now we know that something bad happens. We mentioned that Herod was a puppet ruler. The Romans installed him. He might have been half Jewish. There's a string of tradition that says he was an Edomite, which is a descendant of Esau, who were always at odds, always at war with the descendants of Jacob. And Jesus, of course, was the descendant of Jacob, not Esau.
Right.
And Herod was infuriated by this because, number one, he didn't want his power threatened. Number two, he didn't want any newborn king of the Jews
mm-hmm.
because he was king. He wanted his son to be king.
Right.
You know, he had the heredity. He was going to be the guy who was in charge, not some baby who had just been born
right
in Bethlehem as these guys told him and as his own leaders told him, that's where he was going to be born. So he was infuriated by this. And then the Magi didn't go back through Jerusalem, because even though, and they probably didn't know Herod real well when they got there, but then he said, oh, you know, let me know where he is so I can go worship him too.
Mm-hmm.
And then an angel says to them, you know what? Don't go back to Herod. Go a different way.
Yeah.
So, you know, they took a different highway out of the city and ended up on a whole different route. So when Herod finds out the Magi have kind of, you know, deceived him from his mm-hmm. point of view, he gets mad.
It is interesting that they were able to leave the city without really being noticed.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Three guys on camels.
Yeah. 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 And an interesting thing happens here too, because now the Messiah needs to be protected from something. Mm-hmm. Now, up until this time, everything's been very obscure. You know, some shepherds saw it. You know, some people around saw it. We don't know who heard the singing that night and all this other stuff, but Magi came. Where is he? Nobody really knew. Mm-hmm. The whole thing was very obscure.
Right.
So, but now all of a sudden, this baby needs to be protected from something. It's pretty interesting. Before that, his obscurity was kind of his protection. You know, we mentioned last week, as king of Israel and the son with a capital S, he should have been honored. There should have been all kind of majestic stuff going on. There should have been excitement that he had been born. There should have been, I mean, look at the excitement when little Prince George was born. I mean, everybody in the world, whether you're British or not, says, oh, yay.
Oh,
they're
a
new
wonderful
prince. Yeah, it's wonderful. And here's, you know, the son, capital S, and king, capital K, not just king, little K.
Right.
You know, nobody knows about it. Very obscure. And even at this very young age, and we don't know exactly when this was, but I mean, Jesus certainly wasn't, you know, 10. He was still a baby.
Right.
He was still an infant, we would say. He's already a source of division.
Yeah.
Already a source of division. You know, and as that prophecy said, you know, that we quoted many times, and Simeon said it, he's going to be responsible for the rise and the fall of many in Israel.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So all of a sudden now, he's the division. You know, later on, when Jesus is preaching, you know, he says, hey, don't think I came to bring peace. There's going to be division come to me because of me. There's going to be divisions within families. There's going to be divisions within towns. There's going to be divisions within the nation. There's divisions within Judaism. There was division among the Pharisees because of him. He's a source of division. Oh, he's a stone that causes people to stumble. You know, it's just one of the great prophecies in the Psalms that he's a stone that causes people to stumble.
Right.
You trip over the stone. So he's already being responsible now for the rise and fall of many in Israel.
Yes.
Because Herod has the political power.
Mm-hmm.
He's king. I mean, he's a puppet of the Romans, but he's king. The Romans are the real power.
Right.
But he's king. And he has a lot of pride.
Right.
As you can see, he's a prideful, arrogant kind of guy. And he likes that better than, hey, maybe this really is the Messiah. Maybe I should go see this.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, no, this is a threat to him. This is a threat to his power, a threat to his political power. Because now, whether he realizes it or not, the kingdom with a capital K is breaking in in a very real way in the person of this baby.
Mm.
And so all these things are happening in such a, you know, quiet but powerful way to now it gets to the point where this small baby, this little infant needs to be protected.
Well, yeah, this one child is really, things are going to happen that are going to change the course of people's lives forever.
Yeah.
And not just politically, but, you know, what Herod wants to do is destroy He wants to kill Jesus. He wants to kill the baby so that this baby will not become king. And what's going to take place is, you know, as we commonly know, is called the, you know, the slaughter of the innocents.
Yes.
Because what does Herod do? He orders that every male child 2 years and younger is to be killed.
Yeah.
Now, you know, we can think back to when there was the Exodus out of Egypt, and the firstborn of every generation was of man and beast alike was killed. How terrible that was. But now you're going to have it, you're going to have this imposed by a, an evil ruler, and they're going to go out and kill all the male children 2 years and younger, so that in Herod's mind, he's going to eliminate this power option. He's going to, or this power struggle, or he's going to eliminate this, this reign of, he's going to ensure that he is the king.
Yes, exactly.
And this little baby
is
not even going to grow to be even a remote possibility of being a king.
Yes. And now he's even more infuriated because of this incident with the Magi.
Yeah, they get out of the city without being seen.
And they tricked him, basically.
They tricked him, yeah.
Because of an angel. But he looks at it as he's been deceived
they
by
deceived
these guys.
They deceived me, yeah.
And, you know, again, so many things in the scripture can refer not only to the time when it was happening, but can refer to us. You know, a lot of things are... You can see ourselves in this. You know, we like our money. We like our lifestyle. We like the life that we have. We like the stuff we're doing over what's going on in the kingdom. You know, we want attention toward ourselves.
Right.
I want to do a good job at work so everybody will say, hey, wow, that guy's really doing a good job. We're going to pay him more money. We don't want our coworker next to us to excel and get a big bonus. And we sit there going, man, I can't believe he got that big bonus and I didn't get anything. And we have that with the employees at Gifts of Grace Ministries.
Yeah.
We have to try to like, so.
Like
that.
My bonus is always.
No, we're just joking. Yeah, no. Anyway, there's no bonuses here, believe me. But, you know, we don't want attention diverted away from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, very much like Herod, we don't want to give glory to somebody else. We want to have the glory ourselves.
Right.
We want somebody to say, hey, wow, you're doing a great job. We're so glad you're here. Not, hey, didn't Fred over there do a really great job? And, yeah, you're okay too, but boy, Fred really did a great job. He's like, right. Well, Fred did a great job. I don't care about Fred. Because we want the glory. Herod wanted the glory.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want any threats to our lifestyle.
Right.
You know, I'm reminded of, a person who was at one of my home groups, and
I didn't mean to say that. No. I take it all back.
No, no, Steve does music at one of the home groups, but I don't remember if it was that one. Actually, you were actually there too.
Uh oh.
And this woman came to a couple of them with her husband, and then I don't remember offhand what we were discussing that night. But she got very troubled and got kind of teary-eyed, and I knew something was going on with her.
Mm-hmm.
And when the group was over and people were eating refreshments, she took me aside and said, the Lord's asking me to do something, and I don't want to do it.
Mm.
And, you know, I tried talking to her for a little bit, but, you know, she never came back to the home group. She never contacted me again. She was also coming to one of the Bible studies that I run. She didn't come back to that either.
Mm-hmm.
And no one in either of those groups has ever seen her again. And I thought to myself, you know, not to pick on her because I do this too. And everybody does this,
right.
But we don't want threats to our lifestyle. You know, I have this life now. And if the Lord wants me to go do this other thing, I don't know if I'm going to like that because after all, that's not my lifestyle. I like this lifestyle. You know, I want to go out to eat tonight and I want to have a nice glass of wine and relax. And then tomorrow morning, I want to get sleep in a little bit. And then I want to go to work. And then, you know, we have our lives kind of planned out.
Yeah.
And we don't want interruptions.
You know, following following the Lord and the Lord's call is not always easy. And I think one of the things that we can really look into from this passage and this flight into Egypt is there's always a tendency to think that, you know, oh, Mary and Joseph and Jesus, you know, must have been wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Holy Family and, you know, the Son of God is born, and what an honor for, you know, for Mary to bear the Son of God. And, you know, things must have just been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah. They weren't.
They were all neat and clean with their nice clothes on. And
right. No, they, you know, if you look at the scripture here, Herod ordered the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity 2 years old and under in accordance with the time he had ascertained from the Magi. So how long were, Mary and Joseph in the stable
mm-hmm.
caring for Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the Magi saw the star that's rising and they traveled.
Yes, that's right. So some period of time went by.
And so if we're looking at scripture and what it says, and they told Herod when they saw the star that's rising, and he determined, okay, anybody under 2 years and under, we're just going to get, you know, we're going to wipe the whole slate clean.
Mm-hmm.
Could have been a year, could have been a year and a half.
Yeah,
but he just went 2 years under.
Yeah, 2 years
let's
and
take
under.
Care of the problem.
Yeah.
But what happens to this family is that their Joseph is warned in a dream by an angel, rise and go.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Egypt now.
Yeah.
Did they have time to pack their bags and all their belongings and all this other stuff? They had to protect mm-hmm. their child.
Yes.
Who is also our salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you're saying about, you know, somebody's saying, you know, God's telling me to do something, but I don't want to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, following the Lord is not always an automatic thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in our faith life, we like to really think that, oh, I'll do whatever you say, Lord. You can count on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really, we're like Peter.
Yeah.
I'll never let anything happen to you, Lord. I'll never deny you.
Yeah. You can count on me.
Count on me.
These guys, I don't know, but I'll be there.
Yeah, Phil, I don't know. Steve, No.
I'll die with you. I'll go in there and I'll do.
I will do anything for you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've done it.
Yeah.
Lord, I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you pray about it and.
Yeah.
Then I come to my senses and go, okay, I have to do this because that's what God's asking me to do.
Yeah.
But it's not easy.
Right.
And I think there's sometimes a false perception that people will buy into that if they come to the Lord as, and receive Jesus as their Messiah, that, oh, life's going to be grand.
Oh, yeah. Just tell them what kind of car you want and what color and.
Then it'll be delivered in your driveway. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, we get caught up in, we want to preserve our lifestyle. We want to serve and we want to follow, but I really like my life the way it is.
I want to be comfortable.
Yeah. Whew. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We're already at the first break.
I know.
We'll be back in a minute.
Seated on the throne. Mountains bow down. Every ocean roars. To the Lord of hosts, praise Adonai, from the rising of the sun till the end of every day, praise Adonai, all the nations of the earth, all the angels and the saints, sing the praise. Like him, lion and the lamb, seated on the throne. Mountains bow down, every ocean roars, to the Lord of hosts. Come praise him, praise Adonai. From the
listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Yeah, that was an excellent point you were making there before the break. And I was thinking, too, here in my notes that, you know, we're like Herod in some ways because we'll give deceitful lip service. You know, Herod says, yeah, come back and tell me where he is so I can go worship him, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yeah, let me know about the Jesus thing, you know, so I can go there sometime. Not going to be today, not going to be this week, but maybe sometime in the future, you know. Or we have the people that on Sunday morning are there, and as long as you keep the service to, you know, 57 minutes or less,
right?
We'll be there, and we'll sing the songs, and
we'll do the stuff.
You know, we'll do the stuff, and we'll say the prayers, and we'll do the liturgy, and whatever else we're going to do. But then the rest of the week is my time. The rest of the week is like time to work and do my kind of thing. And you know, when it comes to prayer, you know, your prayer life, your study of the Word, hey, I'm not going to have that interfere with my work life and my personal life. I mean, I'll do those things as long as it doesn't conflict with anything else that's going on, or as long as I'm not too tired to do that, then I'll do those things. So, you know, we do also give deceitful lip service, kind of like Herod did. But interestingly, you know, you were talking about Joseph obeying. It's kind of interesting because Joseph has no way to know what Herod's thinking.
Exactly.
And
yeah,
there was no mass media then where you could put CNN on and say, you know, there's some reports that Herod's thinking about doing, you know, nobody would have any way to know what Herod was thinking about doing.
Right.
So Joseph really had no information.
Mm-hmm.
But interestingly, he gets information again in a dream like he did before. Well, you know, we never hear Joseph say anything in Scripture, but he has some powerful dreams.
Yeah.
And he has, the other time it's, well, Mary's pregnant. You know, this is a holy offspring.
Right.
It's the Son of God, you know, conceived by the Spirit and all these things we know about.
Don't be afraid to take her as your wife.
Yes. And yeah, the angel says, don't be afraid. And, you know, you're going to name him. You're going to name him Yeshua. You're going to name him Jesus. And so now he has a dream. He doesn't know Herod's thoughts. He doesn't know, like, the situation. He doesn't know the danger that they're in. And he certainly doesn't know how he's going to escape this danger, even if he knew what the danger was.
Mm-hmm.
So an angel comes in a dream, just like before, and tells him this. Now, before Jesus was conceived in the womb of Mary, Joseph probably didn't have a lot of dreams with angels in him.
Mm-hmm.
He probably didn't have a lot of dreams with angels telling him what to do. So now he's got two of them,
yeah,
you know, at least within like a year or so,
right,
or
right,
9 months at least.
And you know, the amazing thing is that he responds to both of these.
Yeah, exactly.
He responds,
yes,
you know, just like Abraham, you know, God spoke to Abraham and Abraham believed and it was credited to him as righteousness.
Yeah, amen.
Joseph was a very righteous man.
Amen. Obedient,
yeah,
faithful to his wife,
yes,
faithful to this baby who, as we know, was not his baby,
right?
But he knew that there was the divine plan in this.
Yeah, yeah. There's so much that is there that I think we can easily overlook the human element of it.
Exactly.
Of a human being having to come to terms with and accept what God's doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
As you and I both know, that always doesn't happen.
Yeah. I mean, he's a pretty extraordinary man,
yeah,
Joseph. I mean, very extraordinary man.
Yeah.
And we don't know, Scripture doesn't tell us a lot about him.
Mm-hmm.
But like you say, when you start to think about the human aspect of these things,
mm-hmm,
and you start to think that he's has this baby, not his baby, he has a trade. You know, he's the carpenter in the town.
Right.
He has to go all the way to Bethlehem because of this decree from Caesar.
Right.
Then all these other things happen. Then we don't even know, like, when he gets back to Nazareth. It's quite a long time.
Right.
So, you know, his business is clearly suffering. There's people waiting for stuff. And,
yeah.
You know, people who gave up on him.
Where's that table and chair set that I ordered?
Not hiring him again. But, anyway. But you know, he has this dream with the angel because now he's in the plan of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's physically attached to the Messiah. Yeah. You know, he's clinically, physically attached to the Messiah in a very powerful way, so that there's communication from heaven directly to him, because he's in essence the guardian of this baby. He's in charge of providing. In those days, you know, women did not provide. Women did not go to work. Mary could not have said, well, you know, if Joseph provides, he provides. If he doesn't, that's okay. You know, I'll go get a job. He was the one who was the provider for this family. And so when the angel communicates with him, if you see in that passage that you read earlier, the angel tells Joseph what the danger is and what the plan of escape is. Because God, of course, knows what Herod's planning.
Right.
That's not a mystery.
Right.
So he sends the angel. You know, God always knows what the enemy's up to. You know, God always knows what the enemy's planning, what the enemy's doing. And that's why we always say, you know, when you're under demonic attack, if you try to take that on just on your own power, you're a guaranteed casualty.
Yeah.
Because you're not going to know.
Right.
You don't have the power. You don't have the mental power. You don't have the knowledge of what's
right.
going on. You just see a skirmish starting.
Right.
And you try to make your own defense plan. But God knows what the enemy's planning,
right.
knows what kind of attack is coming. So that's your defense.
And you need the divine defense to defend
yeah.
yourself, because
yeah.
you can't do it on your own.
Yeah.
You, as you said, you'll be a casualty.
Yeah.
And, you know, the angel gives him, like you said, the escape route,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Yeah.
This is the plan. You're going to go to Egypt. I mean, think about this. They, as you said, he was... They had to go to Bethlehem, and then he has to take Mary and Jesus to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
Where are they going to stay?
Mm-hmm.
They just have to go.
Mm-hmm. What route are they going to take?
Right.
How does Joseph know how to get to Egypt?
You know, how far is it from where they're at to Egypt?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just down the street.
By a donkey or something.
Right.
It's going to be a few weeks.
It's, you know... Now, interestingly, they have the gifts that the Magi had given, the gold, the frankincense, the myrrh.
Mm-hmm.
Did that help them on their journey?
Some gift cards and a couple credit cards would have been good, too.
Yeah, you know, like a Starbucks card or, Denny's or something like that. But, so, they are called to be uprooted and go to Egypt and stay there.
Right.
For how long?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Till Herod dies.
Till Herod dies. Yeah. So they have to really trust what is God telling them.
Exactly.
How many of us would want to do that?
Right.
I mean, seriously, would you want to take your wife and your young-born child and just be uprooted and
mm-hmm.
go to a place that you don't know
mm-hmm.
and find a place to live and stay there and... You don't know for how long.
Mm-hmm.
Are the people that are searching going to come to Egypt and look?
Mm-hmm. You don't know.
You don't know. I mean, obviously, if there was more danger, you know, there probably would have been another dream.
Are there some kind of agents in Egypt that are going to get word to Herod, the kid you're looking for is here?
Yeah.
You don't know.
You don't know.
But one thing that you bring up there that's a good point is God's going to give the provision for the plan.
Mm-hmm.
What
right.
you have to do is obey.
Right.
You know, the parallel to this is Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
You know, come on, get up, get your stuff. You're going to go to this land I'm going to show you.
Right.
And Abraham does it.
Right.
Okay, go on, take your son Isaac, this one you love, and take him up to this mountain. You're going to sacrifice him. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here Joseph, you know, okay, get his mother, get the child. Let's go. You got to go to Egypt.
Right.
Okay. Now, the provision for the plan is going to be made.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to find a place to stay. They're going to have food to eat. They're going to have water. You know,
right.
When that's God's plan, the provision is going to be. Like
right.
we say, if you're available for something,
mm-hmm.
you're going to be made ready for it and you're going to be provided for.
Yeah. God, you know, following God's plan doesn't always include what I want.
Yeah.
But it will always include what I need.
Exactly.
And there's a huge difference between, you know, in the spiritual life, there's a huge difference between what I want and what I need and what God going to provide for me so that I can, that he can sustain the person that he's asking to follow him.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to leave us orphan. You know, he doesn't leave us out there. Well, sent Joseph, Mary, and Jesus down to Egypt. I wonder how they're doing. You know?
Yeah. Hope it works out for them.
Oh gosh, I better get them out of Egypt now.
Hope it works out for
them. Yeah. You know, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that to us. So as you said, he does provide, he gives the provision for what he has the plan for.
Mm-hmm.
And for any one of us who follow the Lord, you know, sometimes we can look for acknowledgement, fame, if you will. And if God wants you to minister to 10 people and you're faithful to that, and that's what he wants you to do, then that's great.
Mm-hmm.
If he wants you to minister to 1,000 people and you do that, and that's great. That's his plan for you. He'll provide for that. But if he wants you to minister to the nations, you know, he's going to provide for all of that because you're not going to be able to do it on your own.
Right.
Because unless God's building that house, it's going to fall apart.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of sacrifice that takes place when somebody ministers to the nations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about what people have to give up in order to do that.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be away from their families for long periods of time. You know, every weekend, a lot of weekends out of the year, a lot of days out of the year. There's huge sacrifices in all those things, but the main thing is that God's going to provide for the ability, for the means to do all that. And it's not something that I can try and create myself. I can try and do it.
Sure.
But it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, looking at Joseph from that perspective, because now here he is in charge of, you know, the baby Messiah. And Messiah's mother, who's his wife.
Right.
And he's in charge of protecting them, providing for them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, because he's willing to do this, because he follows what the angel tells him in the first dream, and now follows again what the angel tells him in the second dream, he's going to be provided for. Mm-hmm. You know, God doesn't sit back and say, boy, you know, Joseph, he better work a little bit more because they're going to need a little more money, or, you know, he's going to forget this carpenter business. He's going to have to do something else.
Right.
Because he's going to be provided for.
Yeah.
Because it's the fact, you know, as it says about Abraham, you know, Abraham believed and it was counted as righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You believe that God's going to take care of you. It's counted as righteousness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's going to provide. God said to Abraham, I'm your shield. You know, he's the shield of Abraham. It's one of the titles in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a shield. He's going to protect Abraham from whatever's going to happen. He's going to protect Joseph and Mary and, of course, the baby from whatever's going to happen.
Right.
I mean, Herod's not going to go there and kill the Messiah at age, you know, 3 weeks or whatever it was.
Right.
Because that's just not going to happen.
Yeah. And, you know, you see the same thing when the Israelites were let out of Egypt. God provided for them. God defended them.
Yeah.
And God protected them in the wilderness.
Yeah. Yeah. So here, you know, the other thing we have an example here is, you know, we were talking before about last week about how right from his infancy, Jesus was a source of division.
Mm-hmm.
There was conflict because of him. And here, you know, right from his infancy, there's struggle and there's danger. I mean, there's already a threat to him at age a few weeks, you know, couple of months, however old he was, probably a couple of, this was probably after he was presented in the temple, so, because they couldn't have gone to Egypt because he had to be in the temple at day 40.
Right.
So maybe this happened like at day 42. I mean, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a struggle, there's a danger right from the beginning. You know, this is kind of prophesied by Jeremiah that there's, you know, struggles right from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But he's also like what God said to Jeremiah. He's sanctified from the womb. In other words, they could try to kill Jeremiah, but Jeremiah ain't going to die until what his work is done.
Exactly.
And it doesn't matter if the Pharisees raised an army to kill Jeremiah. They wouldn't be able to kill him until the work is done.
Right.
I mean, infant Messiah who's 40-some days, 60-some days, whatever it is, old,
right,
isn't going to be killed by one of Herod's soldiers.
Right. Yeah, you're bringing up a good point, because in the Christmas season, you know, we celebrate Christmas, and then the week after we celebrate, you know, the Feast of the Holy Family, and then we celebrate the Epiphany of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And we can tend to think that, okay, well, these things happen within 14 days. And obviously that's not the timetable, but the essence is that we're remembering and we're celebrating this event that took place that happened obviously after Jesus was presented in the temple. And, you know, Mary and Joseph were at this stable, at this manger, and we don't know how long they were there. We don't know how long that they were there with, or taking, you know, was that their place of residence when they went to Bethlehem to be enrolled in the census? And they had to stay there.
Yeah. Did somebody charge them rent? Hey, how long are you guys going to be in my barn? But anyway, we don't even know whose barn it was.
No, we don't.
Yeah. But, you know, the same thing goes on not only with these big things like, you know, the Holy Family, but even applies to the church, to the body of Christ, to the body of Messiah. You know, there's struggles, there's things, but it's going to be preserved.
Mm-hmm.
The gates of hell aren't going to prevail against it.
Right.
There's not going to be a time where the church is going to be destroyed.
Right.
Till somebody's going to rise up on TV and say, well, there's no more believers left anywhere in the world. That's never going to happen.
Never going to happen.
And
even,
until the kingdom is done.
Well, yeah, even when Elijah was on Mount Carmel and, you know,
yeah,
the prophets of Baal.
Exactly.
And he, you know, he slaughters all the prophets of Baal after God comes down
yeah.
and,
yeah, yeah.
you know, takes up the sacrifice or the offering. And he's, you know, he's in the wilderness. Woe is me. And,
yeah.
you know, God's saying, I have, what, 7,000 or
7,000.
There's 7,000.
They haven't bowed the knee.
They haven't bowed the knee. Don't worry. So there's always a remnant. You know, we've talked about remnants on the show lots of times. There's always a remnant that God preserves.
Right.
A lot of times they're not even mentioned.
Yeah.
They're obscure.
Yeah.
Just like as we were saying, the birth of Messiah was somewhat obscure.
Yeah. And there's precedent, you know, for this, you know, the slaughtering of the innocents, the killing of the innocents, because Pharaoh gave that order. He said all the Hebrew boys should be drowned as soon as they're born.
Yeah.
And many, 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 many of them, I'm sure, were.
Except for Moses.
Moses got saved. You know, there's in Revelation 12:4, there's the dragon waiting for the woman to deliver so he can devour the baby. You know, there's always this cruelty that kind of prefigures, you know, forces of evil are going to try to kill little Messiah before he can do anything.
Yeah.
But we know the Messiah is not going to be killed by Herod, not going to be killed by anybody in Nazareth. You know, when they tried to throw him over the precipice in Nazareth, it says he just walked right through him.
Yeah.
Because the time hadn't come.
Right.
Ooh, it's another break already. Remember, check out giftofgraceministries.org. We'll be back in a minute.
Truth of your kingdom reign in us.
To the Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. That's an awesome song.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that some other time, the Way to the Glory, the Kabod. So why did they have to go to Egypt? That's pretty interesting.
There were good hotels. Like,
not Lebanon, not Jordan. You know, Egypt was a place of idolatry. It was a place of slavery. It was a place where the people were persecuted.
Mm-hmm.
It was a place where the Hebrew babies were killed.
Yeah.
Pretty interesting that they would have to go back there.
Yeah.
I mean, Joseph probably would have thought, go back to Egypt. What do you talk about?
Yeah.
Every Saturday morning, every Shabbat in the service, we hear about how we got rescued from that place of slavery, which was
yeah.
Egypt. And now you want us to go back to Egypt?
Yeah.
So, you know, in the sovereignty of God is he can use any place, including the worst places, for his own purposes.
Yeah.
Because he owns the whole earth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything gets redeemed. Like, how many, like, bad things you've done in your life get somehow redeemed so that it comes back to being something that ends up being okay.
Yeah.
And
oh,
this
yeah.
is the same as with Egypt. And then, you know, we talk about the humanness of Mary and Joseph. You know, what were they thinking? They just had heard Simeon talk about how this baby was the glory of Israel, and now they have to run away with him to protect him.
Yeah.
So if he's the glory of Israel, why do we have to run away?
Mm-hmm.
Or Mary had been told that this was the Son of God. I mean, couldn't he just, you know, call down angels and strike Herod dead?
Right.
And get rid of all his soldiers and whatever?
And defend him, yeah.
Yeah, right. I mean, couldn't he just, like, blow away all these Romans and whoever else is around here? Like, he's the Son of God. Why doesn't he just do that?
Yeah.
But, you know, this again, was a test for them
mm-hmm.
in the sense of they obey, they have provision. And they obey in faith. And like you said before, they didn't question
right.
the instructions. They said, okay, angel comes and says, we got to go to Egypt. We got to go to Egypt. You know, it says they went that night. You know, that Joseph has the dream and they went in the night. So it was probably the same night. So Joseph gets up and says, okay, let's go. We got to go. I don't know how to get to Egypt, but maybe the angel's going to show us. And, you know, they don't have a road map or anything. How do you even get to Egypt from there? How does he know where the roads are? But he gets to Egypt.
Yeah.
And so they did, you know, there were no miraculous means of protecting them. They didn't see miraculous things around them.
Right.
Like walls of angels protecting them
yeah.
from Herod.
Pillars of fire.
Yeah, they didn't see any of that, but they knew that they had to go, and they used ordinary means, which was, okay, get on the donkey, pack up the baby stuff, let's go.
Mm-hmm.
Just like we would do today with our car.
Right.
No extraordinary means of protection. So, again, like we talk about, God uses ordinary people to do work in the kingdom. He uses ordinary methods to protect Messiah from this danger.
Yeah. And they're totally dependent on God for their provision. And not, you know, not, they're totally dependent on God for all their provision.
Mm-hmm.
For their, for really, so that they are kept safe.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Joseph, through his obedience, he shows that he's a capable protector of this baby and the baby's mother. You know, this is a great responsibility, and we don't know, like, we know they were provided for, did they have the wise man's gold? But we know one thing for sure, if the wise men would have brought a bunch of gold, they would have kept them going for a while.
Yeah.
Because gold would have been very, very valuable.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, Joseph doesn't question that they're going to have the provision. He says, let's go. And then the angel even tells him, you're going to stay there until I come back and tell you that it's okay to go back.
Yeah.
You're going to stay there until the danger is past. Now, again, just like Joseph doesn't know what's in Herod's mind, when he's wherever they were in Egypt, and the Egyptians at the Coptic Orthodox Church in Seven Hills, they have the where they say the place was where they went, but I don't remember where it was now. But anyway, Joseph being in Egypt certainly wouldn't know what Herod was thinking, wouldn't know what that if Herod had died or not. So the angel's going to come back and tell him.
Right.
And again, they're told not to do their own plan. They're going to get what the plan is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not supposed to do our own plan. We're going to get what the plan is. And if you argue with what the plan is, then it becomes your own plan.
Yeah.
Then that may or may not work out. It's probably not going to work out.
Yeah. We see that with, you know, when God gave the plan to Abraham.
Yes.
And he said Sarah's going to have a son. And he went and did his own plan. And then, in Nineveh, when the prophet went to Nineveh. Jonah, he didn't want to go to Nineveh, so he went on a boat and got everybody in trouble. You know, you see they're trying to do their own plan. But as you said, Joseph obeys and God provides.
Yeah.
And God's provision is there.
Yeah. And, you know, the angel doesn't say, well, once you get to Egypt, then, you know, figure out how you're going to get back.
Yeah.
Figure out when they're, you know, figure out how you can get out of this danger. He says, don't worry, I'm going to come back and tell you.
Yeah.
So this baby, little Messiah, again, has to go through a suffering because he's exiled from his own people.
Yeah.
He's exiled from the covenant people.
To Egypt.
To a land of Gentiles, a land of idolatry, a land of all the pagan practices, but submits to it.
Just as the Hebrew people were.
Right. Submits
from the land.
To it because that's the plan. And Joseph immediately goes during the night. And, you know, just like we said with Abraham, Abraham didn't know where he was going, it says in Hebrews 11:8. He had no idea where he was going, but he obeyed.
Mm-hmm.
So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's interesting, too, there is that Mary's called the mother of the child, not the wife of Joseph. The angel doesn't say, get your wife and go. He says, get the child and his mother and go.
Mm-hmm.
So her honor is that she's the mother of the child. Not that she's Joseph's wife.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing against Joseph, but it's a whole other story here. Jesus is the principal person here.
Right.
And her honor is that she's the mother of the Messiah.
Yeah.
Ooh. I got more stuff to do yet. That was the end of the show. Wow. Anyway, I hope you've had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would place your trust in God, that He can provide for you. Not just this day, but for your entire journey. God bless everyone. Have a great week.
Name
You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.